try to make this kind and clear. Just a chance that maybe we'll find better days. 'Cause I don't need boxes wrapped in strings and designer love and empty things. Just a chance that maybe we'll find better days. So take these words and sing out loud, 'cause everyone's forgiven now. 'Cause tonight's the night the world begins again.
Welcome to a new series of Emerald Heart podcasts. This is the first episode, and of course, as it's this time of year, we'll be talking about Christmas and the pluses and minuses and things you do and things you may not want to do. Special guest in this podcast, Tim Dyson, principal of the Emerald Heart School. Hi there, Tim.
Hello, Ian. Hi. Well,
yeah, fine, thanks. Yourself?
Yes, good, thank you. Good. Hello, everyone.
This is the first of the new podcast series of Emerald Heart shows, and the theme we've Tim and I are thinking of talking about today is Christmas. So Tim, what's your views on Christmas and how it's treated?
Well, Ian, I think first of all I'd just like to invite everyone just to take a moment, just to take a few breaths, just to feel their feet on the ground, just take a couple of deep breaths, and to bring themselves present here. So we're all fully present. And we can start to really receive and experience the light as it starts to come in and move between us, starts to come into our hearts, into our energy system in various ways. After all, this is a chance for people to have another experience of the light. So we may be talking about Christmas, New Year. We may be talking about aspects of life and spirituality. But we want this to be experiential, as much as anything else. So just together, let's just take a moment, just take a few breaths. And start to feel the light, the energy field. Start to feel it expanding within your aura. Start to feel things coming and going. Start to become gently aware of your deeper consciousness. It's more like you're riding gently, softly, waves of light and energy. So Christmas here. Well, I see it as, in a sense, a time of refuge, really. Or one aspect of it, we could say. I see it as a time of refuge, because everything pretty much stops. And one of the things you notice about modern life is that things don't stop very much. They're incessant, endless, endless activity. And at Christmas time, most people are off work, with family, with loved ones. And everything stops and quietens down. And we have the chance to experience ourselves and our life in a different way for a few days. And the other thing is that essentially the media, its activity to some degree slows down. If it doesn't stop, it at least slows down. The politicians are on holiday. There's not much news stories, generally. And so we can kind of step away from the hectic life. We can take refuge in a quiet few days over the Christmas period. How do you see it, Ian?
I find it very hard to distance myself from the rampant commercialism. You've really got to try hard to pull yourself away and separate yourself, because Christmas is this period of rest and recuperation, as you say. But at the same time, there seems to be a concerted effort to kind of drive everybody over the edge so they lose that focus and lose that concentration and lose that rest. And in the end, kind of generally, people need a holiday after Christmas, you know, just to recover from Christmas. So you've really got to be conscious about your kind of application of it.
I think you're right. I mean, it's true that the rampant commercialism it creates a lot of pressure on people. But even that stops over the actual Christmas period, because everything is shut. You can't carry on shopping, even if you want to. Even if you feel compelled to, it's quite hard to, because very little's open. But it's true, it's an ugly thing. And people feel like, I'm not a good parent if I don't buy all this stuff, all this rubbish for my kids. I'm not a good husband, wife, all these things. We have all these messages, all this pressure put on us. But of course, what it does is it takes away from something that's really, really an important aspect of Christmas. And that is the innocence of Christmas. You know, the whole nativity in the Christian tradition of Christ being born, the baby in the manger, the three wise men, the donkey, all of these stories. There's a sense of sort of childlike wonder and awe and innocence about them. And in a sense, that coming together with our loved ones should also have a sense of innocent joy, togetherness about it. But of course, we bring the pressures into the scenario. We bring the hassle, the stress beforehand. We bring that into the Christmas period itself.
What do they say, Tim, about no matter how spiritual a person you are, spend 3 days with your family over at Christmas and you'll return frazzled and frayed at the edges?
Well, this is the litmus test, isn't it? It's the ultimate litmus test. How much have I move beyond my reflexive, habitual, reactive patterning? How much is my awareness able to give me a range of choices and responses that are not driven by those habitual responses and historical dynamics? And for sure, our family members, they will be the ones that know how to press the ultimate buttons to produce the reactions in us. So it gives us actually a very good chance to really see where we are, how well we're doing. But I think one thing is important to remember in all of this. Whilst we're all responsible for ourselves and our own behaviour and the choices we make, those of us that are to one degree or another awake spiritually and aware, I believe that places a greater onus and sense of responsibility on us to find a way out of the historic patterning, the historic dynamics and conditioning between us and our family members. Because we have the tools, we have access to the tools, we've done some work, we have the greater expanded vision. So I think it's up for us, ultimately, to learn how to step out of the dynamics, to enable to allow the space to open up for something new to develop. So to go back to the, why does my mum always treat me like this? Why does my dad always do that? It just puts us in a place of powerlessness, victimhood, blaming, and making us feel like we've got no control over our own lives. But actually, we do have the control. We just need to own it and start to use it wisely.
Yeah, valid point.
I'm not saying it's easy, huh?
No. So once you've overcome the family get-togethers and the old patterns and trying to step out of them, then you've got the overdosing on food and kind of maybe alcohol. Yeah, which is nice, in moderation, I think. It seems that there's a maxing out of the senses, you know, with food and television and kind of not enough, maybe plenty of rest, depending. So people really need to go into it with strategies, don't they? You know, how to survive Christmas. I think some, well, I'm sure there's quite a few books written about that, but it's also easy to get back into the, it's Christmas again, what did I do last year? Oh yeah, I overate, overdrank, overslept.
Well, in truth, people probably need to sleep a lot and to recoup and recharge their batteries after the working year. But we probably all overeat at Christmas, you know, and it is sort of part and parcel of the experience. But it's true, we make certain choices at Christmas, and while we relax maybe the regimes or the disciplines that we have that in some ways probably keep us sane and in other ways keep us in some sort of reasonable shape physically, emotionally, whether it's going to yoga or the gym or, you know, all the things that we have in place in our lives, we tend to relax them over Christmas. And I think that's actually one of the nice things about Christmas, is to put everything down in that way for a few days. Mm. But of course, we've got choices. We could go for a walk in the countryside after a big meal, or we could fall asleep on the sofa and put on the TV or whatever. So we have choices we can make endlessly throughout the period. Mm. But I think also one of the things I like about it is to try and come together in some way with your family, with your loved ones. So whether it's to all have a walk together, or whether it's to play a game of Monopoly, or whatever it is, to do something where you interact rather than just sitting in front of the TV, this to me feels important.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I think there it is a time of togetherness. Mm. And although it brings up a lot of challenges, being in that close proximity for often days on end, it also has the potential to create really nice experiences and moments, really quite magical ones. Mm. And I think the key to finding those, to accessing those, to experiencing those, is to not turn up with your defences shored up, your armour on, suited and booted, ready for battle, but to turn up with a certain innocence, a certain actually not knowing what's going to happen, because you don't know. But for sure, you turning up thinking you do know, and that this will happen between me and this one, and me and my mum, and me and my dad, because it always happens. Mm. For sure, you are just perpetuating.
That's it. You're going to manifest it, aren't you?
Yeah, you're not creating space or the possibility for something new to open up and develop. And as I said earlier, I think it's our responsibility to do that, because we are the ones that at least should have the greater awareness, because we are on conscious spiritual paths.
Super. So that said and done, okay. Have you, people may think, okay, now they think, right, we can enter this situation. We'll try and enter it in a different way than before. And if they feel they're being triggered by old patterns or whatever, does anything come to mind, any strategies that can help them? Maybe some kind of like a simple meditation or something, whereby they can center themselves at the time and kind of just step out of that childhood situation or whatever it was?
Well, I would like to maybe do a meditation towards the end of this program with you, Ian, to maybe help people find a different response. Really, what you're looking for is to catch the moment before you've acted. And if you can catch it in the right moment, what tends to happen is you have a smile come instantly on your face, forms on your face, because you see the dynamic. You see the response that you're heading towards, the habitual, reflexive, reactive response, but you catch it in the moment and you go a different way and instantly it brings a smile to your face. It's a little bit like a boxer who's just had an enormous punch thrown at him, but he sidestepped it and has missed him.
And he smirks.
And he knows it's just missed him, and he smiles in response, he smirks. It's a little bit like that.
I think any injection of humour in a tough situation breaks it down, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And the other thing it does is to come at everything with a sense of love. Now, that sounds like some soppy, sentimental, you know, namby-pamby kind of spiritual rubbish. But if you think about it like this, what is our real nature? Our real nature is essentially love, the deepest aspect of our consciousness, the real self, the original self, is love. So I'm not suggesting something that's actually illogical, irrational, or implausible. What I'm suggesting is that we start to approach everything in life, including going for a family Christmas, more and more from the inner position of our real nature, our deeper nature, our original self. And that in coming more and more from that place, we don't have to go through all of the other stuff. We can just come at it in a very different way. So this is something I would like people to try and help them to find a sense of in the meditation. And then that maybe they can carry this through over the Christmas period and come back to it, possibly, and replay it. During the Christmas period, if they find it helpful. And I think that they will find that it has a deeper and deeper effect. So already, as we're talking about it, you might be able to start to perceive the sense of love, almost a bit the feeling of falling in love, that kind of feeling. And when you come to life from this position, and it's very hard for things to really bother you. Really very hard. Well, certainly a lot harder than previously. And as we become more and more stable in this position, then really, we really are very affected. Things just very unaffected. So things just wash over us or just miss us, really. They just can't stick to us in the same way.
I think there's
a playful nature to it. There's a joy to it. There's a sense of joy. And there's a sense of innocence and wonder as well. And it's a little bit like falling in love, really.
It's kind of easy to miss that feeling, though, isn't it? You know, when everyone's worried about if they've got the right present or Have they got enough food for the family or whatever, you know? It's very easy to miss the simplest and the most joyous of things, you know? That family or friendship bond and that shared humanity.
Absolutely. But again, it's for us to lead the energy, to lead the energy in the family group. If we're all there together, it's not for us to follow the difficult energies, the difficult emotions of the other family members and get tied up in our own and into some difficult dynamic from our own with theirs. It's for us to lead the group energy, the family dynamic, in a better direction. That's what it really means to be a spiritual teacher, a spiritual guide, a spiritual soul, a beacon of light, you know, all these things. We are the ones to lead the way, not follow behind some destructive thing with everyone else. And the other thing I would like to point out with this is there's what a lot of people that are supposedly spiritual do is make themselves dead rather than alive as a way to cope, not just with Christmas, but with life. So they think, to keep my stability, my equanimity, my balance, I will stay kind of dead inside. And you may feel very calm in that place, but you're not fully alive either. You're not fully there. So it's not about stepping away, hiding and just frowning down from your pedestal position and judging everyone around you. It's about being fully present in whatever we do, but in a good way, from a good position inside ourselves.
I think
and
it's all
that way we can lead the others.
Yeah. Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Some people find it easier to disassociate, don't they, than to actually engage. Yeah. And I think a lot of people do that.
And that's if that's what you're doing, that's fine up to a point. But don't kid yourself that that's being spiritual. That's the key point. Hmm. Don't delude yourself that that's somehow the spiritual way, because it's not. It's not. I'm utterly convinced of that.
No, that's right. It's the hermit on the hill kind of thing.
Yes, it is. We need to be fully present in what we do, not sitting detached in some
cave.
It's a misunderstanding of what unattached is. Mm. It's you're cutting yourself off from life. You're denying something of your own life force, and you're inevitably going to be sitting there looking down from a rather superior judgmental position.
Mm.
And you're just going to be witnessing life rather than actually taking part in it. That's really, there's a place for going inside, and that's in meditation. It's not as a way to avoid humor and interaction because you find it difficult and it makes you lose your balance and stability.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you've got to suck it up and learn how to do it. It's like, you can't avoid it.
Mm. I guess one of the best ways to stay grounded and to have your feet firmly on the ground is to engage on things around you, you know, be present in the moment and kind of share everyone's, you know, share in the experience.
Yeah. If you put out something nice, it will affect those around you in a good way.
Mm.
If you put out total disinterest, disconnect, or without like defensive survival kind of, you know, daggers ready kind of energies, then guess what you're going to bring in? You know, nothing very helpful. If you put out happiness, joy, pleasure at being with the people, so what do? We bring value to the people. We bring value to them. We help them feel value in themselves and value in the interaction. That's the real spiritual position, to bring value to others, to help them feel good in themselves and connect with deeper aspects of themselves. As we do it for ourselves, so we help others to do it.
Nicely put.
Thank you. but of course, we should be pointed out that what we're talking about here is far bigger than Christmas. We've started off talking about Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
But what we're talking about is the way that we live lives.
Yeah, this is for life, not just for
And this is the suggestions. These are my suggestions. Based on my interpretation and my understanding of the spiritual path and what it really means to be really on by.
It's a committed way of life as opposed to just once for a holiday.
It's a life of service, ultimately. But that doesn't mean self-denial and self-neglect. Actually, we can really enjoy the process of it. You know, it's nice when, you know, you're there and you say things and you speak in ways and you show things that make the people around you feel happy and light up. That brings its own reward. It brings its own pleasure. You know, you feel the light and the nice energy move between the people.
Super. Super. I must admit, I came into this call a little bit hyped up. And after a couple of minutes speaking to you, Tim, I've totally relaxed now. Once I'm kind of dozing off, but you know, I'm kind of in a good place.
Well, that's the thing, is we want to come at things from a place of easiness and calmness, because that's then what we put out and that's how others will experience our energy. But of course, sometimes we're not in that place. Sometimes we're tensed and keyed up. Sometimes something's got to us. You know, any number of things. Maybe we just had a bad night's sleep. Who knows? Maybe we had indigestion all night because we ate too much too late over the Christmas period. But how do we then deal with that? So we can't pretend that we feel comfortable when we don't. But what I would suggest is that we can start to learn to make space for the whole of our experience. And what that means is not neglecting or denying some part of us, but actually just finding a moment of stopping and centering ourselves, grounding ourselves. And that requires stopping for a moment, stopping the mind for a moment, just stopping and creating the spaciousness whereby we can have all of these experiences simultaneously. We don't have to reject one and crave for another. Because we're conditioned to want to feel good. But what we can start to understand at a certain point is that actually we can feel good even when feeling bad, which sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. Because if we don't go into the story of feeling bad, we don't attach to it in the same way. We just stay with happy. We stay with the joyful feelings, whatever's happening. It's not self-denial. It's just creating more space so that we have more and more choice about where we want to go inside ourselves.
Yeah, indeed. So I guess now's a good time as any to start the Christmas meditation, Tim.
Yeah, I think so as well, Ian. So I'd like to invite us all to come back to that quiet, stable, grounded space. To take a few breaths. Start to feel that part of ourselves that's very unaffected. Constant. Eternal. Timeless. I'd like you to start to experience the allow yourself to experience a sense of innocence, childlike wonder, joy. And you feel like a big smile on your face. Almost a big stupid smile on your face. You might feel your heart expanding and growing. Playful innocence, which is without doubt one of the deeper messages of Christmas, true messages, and is also very much an aspect of our original nature. From this place, there's no need to hang on to historic dynamics that are difficult. They have no place. They're so far in the past, they don't feel valid. They don't even feel real anymore. They're only ever real in your memory anyway. Because the only thing that is real is the present moment. From this place of innocence and joy, we don't need the stories. We don't need the it's not fair, it's not right, but they did this and he did that and she did this. There's no space for this. The space is full. Something much, much nicer, something much purer, more wholesome. Space is full with light, with love. You start to feel you love everything, even the things you don't want to love. You love them. You feel the joyful nature. I was wanting to laugh at that. There's nothing that you can't love in this picture. You're in love with everything. In love with everything within your meditation. In love with everything outside of it. You walk the path of life full of love. And what you will find is that what you will receive back. Oh, there's so many destructive, dark things in the world. It's not that we're not aware of them. But to be consumed in them doesn't help anyone. Least of all those that most need help. We help when we can help. We help when we can see clearly how to help. try and stay in a place of love for our fellow humankind. Love for everything within ourselves. Love for everything without. The Christmas message is one of joy. It's one of celebration. It's one of joy. It's one of innocent wonder and awe. And it's one of love. For the Christians, those in the Christian tradition, it's the birth of Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't we feel love at that, at the celebration of the anniversary of Christ's birth? Those that don't really feel much affinity with the Christian tradition, or maybe have another tradition, or no particular tradition, there's no reason not to feel good feelings. There's no reason not to feel loving feelings, innocent, joyful feelings. Because this is who you are anyway. It's not about becoming something that you're not. It's about becoming who you actually are. It's about revealing who you actually are. Allow yourself to shine. Allow yourself to spread the light of love. All those around you at Christmas, New Year, and into your wider world, into the wider world. Become a force for good, for change. Revolution, a force for love in the world. And let's just rest in that, bide in that in silence for a few minutes. like to invite you now to come out of the meditation. If you feel to carry on after this podcast on your own, then that's of course fine, but for now we're gonna end this podcast very shortly, and I want to thank Ian for running this podcast. Ian is our very knowledgeable tech man at the Emerald Heart School of Enlightenment. Without him, we would be a bunch of dinosaurs struggling in the modern world. And I'd like to wish you all a very happy Christmas and New Year from the Emerald Heart School. And I'm sure Ian has got something he'd like to say as well.
Well, I'd just like to say thanks for that powerful process, Tim. I feel very relaxed and very centered. If people want to run this by again and play that meditation, I'll give you the links to the start and finish, so you can go directly to it. And it's worth playing over and over a couple of times, because the level of peace there was palpable. So must be visited again. And on that point, I'd like to wish Tim Merry Christmas, and hope you and your family have a great one.
Yes, likewise, Ian.
And
Happy Christmas.
I hope you enjoyed this first podcast, and So Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.